He heard my cry. Find no music for that. Amen. I love those old Dr. Watts hymns that just cry out, amen, and just, amen. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you that you hear our cries and you continue to meet our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, we celebrate that wonderful name of Christ, even afresh. Right now, God, it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. We can't do anything without him. We pray now that the anointing of your Holy Spirit would fill this vessel, overtake it right now, that you may use it for your own will and for your own design, God. We pray, God, that you would extract out of it all that you have ordained for this day. Remove out of your people the heart of stone. And replace it with the heart of love that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray every ear open, every heart attentive to what the Spirit will communicate to your church. We thank you, God, that there is manna, there is bread from heaven that feeds us from on high. Now, Father God, we pray that you don't punish your people for the frailty of your preacher. Use them in spite of the failures, in spite of the faults, in spite of those things that are not like you. God, we thank you right now that we're in your presence. We thank you for everything that's gone forth to bring us to this moment. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you're believing God by faith now that somebody will be delivered, that will be healed, that will be set free, can you just give God some praise? Amen. That ought to be the aim and the design of every worship experience, that we not only come to an encounter with the Holy Spirit, but that those who need to know him can find him in this place. Amen. Every other agenda aside, every other thing that does not matter is moved out of the way now for the glory of God to come in. Amen. How many of you are glad to be in the church house on this morning? Amen. Somebody, if you would take a toll and a pole in this house, would say, I've gone through hell and high water, but I'm here. I made it. Amen. And I told you the words of that song really messed me up, because when you think about your life and all that God has brought you through, he could have left us where he found us in the dipsy dumpster, but he lifted us and raised us. That's a reason to give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Certainly to those of this house, Pastor Emeritus Cole, and to the ministers of the gospel, our worship leader, and to all of you, the saints of God, amen. We thank God for your presence here on today. I want to call your attention at this time. I want to do this in two parts. The next part you'll get on the second Sunday, which will be Family and Friends Day, but I want to deal with Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Amen. 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 Please keep in prayer several members of our church. Mother Alberta Battle, who's in the hospital. Miss Hazel Harden had surgery, successful surgery on her shoulder this past week. And continue to keep the Nichols family and the Jenrick family in prayer. And others as well. Amen. Keep those persons in prayer. Amen. Look out this morning. And it's good to see my mother and sister here. Amen. Amen. They snuck in here. Amen. Psalm 30, verse number 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You may be seated. Amen. Somebody just knew I was going to enter the territory of verse 5, but I promise you, amen, it will come later. Amen. Considering those verses, I want to talk to the body of Christ and encourage you along this thought in part 1 of 2. Praise saved my life. Praise saved my life. If that is a true reality of your experience, why don't you just look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, it was the praise that I continued to practice that brought me through my problem and my pain all the way to my purpose. If you're glad about that, give God some praise. Amen. Praise saved my life. Amen. Whether you realize it, my brothers and sisters, or not, every morning that you wake up, you are in the fight of your life. Hallelujah. Not only is it the fight of your life with the current level of devil and adversity, turmoil and tragedy, and even the turn upside downness, if I can use that as a word, and the warfare you're experiencing in your life, it is a fight. But I encourage you, because it's not just a fight of your life, it is the fight for your life. Brothers and sisters, you need to hear me when I say that it's a fight for your life, because it is the fight over what you shall command your voice and your mouth to speak in the atmosphere. In other words, you have the control, whether the circumstances change or not, over what you say to address what's going on in your life. If we were to be honest in here, many of us have spoken the wrong language. We've spoken the language of the enemy in the time of our trouble. How do you know? Well, Pastor, you don't know, you were not there. I know, because when we were challenged on our job and the boss was breathing down our neck, rather than say, bless the name of the Lord, you remembered how those words you used to recite when you were on the playground and they made you mad. You remembered those words and you began to recite those words rather than blessing the name of the Lord. And so it is the challenge, the fight for our lives, in that we must learn how to tame the tongue and to challenge our spirit to speak from the perspective of praise whenever we are challenged in our lives. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. And there are days where you feel like no matter what comes out of your mouth, the devil is still going to win that day. But can I tell you that when you can begin to open your mouth and begin to declare the things of the Lord, God will work a miracle in your life to bring you through whatever it is you're going through. Regarding the opposition and the opportunities that are before you, all of us have a choice with our voice. And here it is. You've got to learn, and I've got to learn how to be hip and to be wise to the tactics and the methods and the strategy of Satan, who is our chief enemy. For you have to understand, he wants more than anything through what you're going through is to put your praise on pause and to paralyze your progress by also paralyzing your praise. In other words, if I could say it this way, he wants what you're going through to cause you to miss church on Sunday morning. He wants what you're going through to cause you to miss the opportunity to show your strength in the midst of your struggle. Do you understand that what he's after is the silencing of your lips and the stopping of your steps? And all of those things are hinging on your praise. See, what happens, Pastor Cole, is we give the enemy too much power when we begin to declare what he's doing more than what God has enabled us to do. Don't you know why Paul wrote Philippians 4 and 13 to tell us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength? Life moves at a rapid pace. And if we were to be honest, it can be overwhelming at times. And what we might not realize is that our senses are continually being impacted by techno gadgets and media in our society. And many times these things can put us in such an emotional frenzy that if we're not careful in keeping a check on what is allowed to grab our attention, we can latch on to everything that comes along and become emptied in our soul, missing the reality that even as we are tried on every side, we must be filled by the present power of the Holy Spirit. If you were here on Wednesday night, this is a plug for Wednesday night. You ought to be in place on Wednesday night. But if you miss Wednesday night, we talked about being unleashed out of the household of faith with the authority to speak blessing over our own life. It's quieting. Can I tell you this? If all that's feeding you during the day comes only through your senses and the world, eventually, can I tell you what's going to happen? You're going to be depleted and you're going to dry up. You're going to sit in church with a frown on your face, hold your head down, not going to have anything to participate in the praise, and you're going to go through the motion and go back home to your meager and miserable existence. Therefore, we've got to learn how to pull back from the world and begin to set our hearts on praising the Lord. Heart-initiated praise allows for the presence of God to be released through the anointing that flows from your praise. Don't you know that your praise has the ability to get and catch the ear of God, and then it causes for the face of God to turn in your direction? And see, many times we want things to work this way. We want things to just automatically happen because it's us. But some things and some things you're going through in life, the reason why they're still there is because you have not learned that praise preempts performance. And when you praise God, you begin to alert God's senses that God has a child that's in trouble and he moves in your direction. And here it is. The word tells us in Isaiah chapter 61 that there is the opportunity for us that when we feel weighted and heavy with the weight of the world, he says that you can make an exchange and take off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. And I want to press this point to this way. It's not just an opportunity. As a matter of fact, when you read it carefully, it is the expectation that those who are down, those who are depleted, those that are dry, would make the exchange necessary so that you can be lifted and find your way. So here it is, as hard as it may be to hear, that the reason why your trouble continues to wreck and ruin your life is not because the trouble is so much. The reason is because you have not learned how to open your mouth and praise God. Here it is. Worship can be performed in many ways. You can be in silent and serving the Lord in worship, as Paul tells in chapter 12 of Romans verse 2. But you cannot, hear me clearly, you cannot praise God with a closed mouth. It is impossible to accomplish what David is telling us if your mouth is closed. Everything that has breath has to open up its mouth and begin to voice and declare and proclaim what thus the Lord has done. Too many folks sitting in church. Show me something. I ain't gonna show you anything. If God woke you up this morning, put food on your table, and let you know he's able, he's the one that's done everything in your life. You don't come to see me, I hope you come to see him. Much as I love you, and I try to be there when you go to surgery, and when you have things happen in your life, I'm just one man. I may miss some of those things, but you come to recognize the one who never leaves you nor forsakes you. He does not leave you in trouble. And so when you come in, put everything else aside and worship him. If you're sitting next to somebody right now, I want to give you permission to move if you have to so you can get your praise on. Quit letting the devil have his way with you in your life. You come to church and you got too much hell you got to go back to, and you got sickness in your body and everything is tore up in your life from the flow up, and you need to get an encounter where you can praise him. Heaviness. I got to give you this part. I told you that there's an opportunity, as Isaiah tells us in chapter 61, to exchange the garment of the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. Don't you know where heaviness really comes from? Heaviness comes, hear me when I say this, when we are away from the presence of God. The reason why you feel the weight and the heaviness is because you are disconnected from the power in the presence of God. David tells us if we go to the highest of highest, we can't escape him. And if we go to the lowest of low, we can't get away from him. So there's nowhere God is not. God is present everywhere and absent nowhere. But the reality of that statement is that while he is present everywhere, we don't feel his power in every place because we're not always with him in his presence. He's right here right now, as a matter of fact, and somebody would leave here and say, I ain't feel nothing. I don't understand what the fuss was all about. I don't know what the hoopla was all about. Don't you know that he who heals you is worthy of your praise? He who gives you a job and keeps you employed and food on you, don't you know he's worthy? What do you mean what all the hoopla is about? There are folks up in this place here, up in here that have been healed from cancer. That's what it's all about. There have been folks up in here who've been broken in relationship. That's what it's all about. You may not understand it, but don't knock it until you try it. If you've tried him, can I hear from y'all out here? Anybody know he's good? Somebody, Campbell said, good, but I'm telling you, he's better than good, because even when I've been naughty by nature and my nature was corrupt, he still was good to me. How do you know? He didn't kill me in my sin, but he held me close until he could save me and bring me into my purpose. That's why we ought to celebrate him. He's done for us what nobody would have done and could have done. You ought to just give him a hand clap of praise right now. Wave your hand if you can. Get on your feet if you're able. Whatever it takes to tell God thank you, you ought not carry it home with you. Tell him how much you appreciate what he's done for you, because praise saves your life. Save your life. Here it is. You can say, well, I don't want to take that opportunity right now because I don't feel like praising. Can I tell you that man had a few purposes when he was created? One of them was to worship God with his life, but another purpose in our creation was that we would praise God, that we would exclaim his name and declare his mighty works in our lives. And don't you know that you really cannot fulfill all of the me stuff that you are supposed to be without his praise in your life. As sons and daughters of God, we are to be led by the Spirit of God and not by our emotions and our desires. Every time I come to church, I don't feel like praising, but I press my way because God has been too good to me. And not only that, my neighbor may need to know in their state of brokenness that they can push their way because I'm a pushing praiser. I don't let the circumstances align. It's just right. So I learn to praise even when the storm is raging in your life. Don't you know that's a proper time to praise? The reason why it's a proper time to praise is because it's not expected in a natural sense. You cannot be led by your emotions and your desires. I love Hopewell because we got a sign up there on Winchester Road that told me everything I needed to know about whether I wanted to be in place here as a pastor. It said two words: Spirit led. That means that there's some folk there who understand how to push when things are not going. Are y'all going to talk to me? That means that there's some folk inside the house that know what it means to press. Well, stop pressing back on y'all. Y'all gonna talk to me. That means that there were some people inside the house who've had their story and their struggles. But praise is saving their lives. Here it is. And we were about to unpack the text. Here it is in the text today. We see this. That David, as I believe some would say, is in a celebrated mood over the dedication of his own palace. If that is true, that David is celebrating because of his own palace, that would mean that his time in the wilderness on the run, he had some folk that put him on the run for a long time. And if David is celebrating the fact that God has given him a house to dedicate to live in, that would mean that now finally as king of Israel, as he has the favor, he has the anointing now, God has publicly established him. His days of running are now over, and he's set to be on the throne. But others believe that David is not really celebrating his own house, but David is celebrating in anticipation of the Lord's house being built. His desire to build the Lord's house, and even though he would not accomplish it in his own lifetime, his son Solomon would do so. And in David's mind, it was as if it already had been built. But whatever the case was, why David was happy, the fact is this: David was happy. And sometimes folk try to get caught up in why and you're celebrating what making you smile so much. The fact just remains sometimes they don't need to always know the details behind why. Just know that I'm happy. Pharrell tried to tell us in that song, a secular song, he said, I'm happy. And you know, if people in the world can find a reason to be happy, don't you know that those of us who've been through hell and high water and we got the story and the t-shirt to prove it, don't you know we ought to be happy too? He may have been singing because his bank account was full, his friends were on fleek, and all of those things about his life in the natural was on point. But some of us are able to not just celebrate that stuff, but we learn how to celebrate the storm. We learn how to celebrate in grief. We learn how to celebrate in sadness. And so we understand that God has given us power over our circumstances. David, as the point is, he is in a posture of praise. Now, here he is. He's looking back at some stuff. But in the midst of those things, David mentions this. He says, praise was still my pattern. Yeah, what are you saying, Pastor? You know, some folk like to wait until the battle is over to shout. But what David is saying is that I'm telling you about it now. It's in the rearview mirror. It has met its demise, its expiration date in my life. But what I learned is that the same thing I'm doing now after the trouble is over, hear me right now, the same thing I'm doing after my pain, my dilemma, my sickness has ended is the same stuff I learned how to practice right there in the middle of. at the beginning of. In other words, it didn't change anything about me. I did not wait until it was over. David said, I'm looking back now, but what I'm just reporting to you is that even when I was in the middle of it, I learned how to practice praise. What is it that you're in the middle of right now that God is teaching you how to perfect praise? I wish I had some help in here. What is it that you're going through right now that others have wrote you out in the middle of, that God in essence is really teaching you how to praise him in a greater capacity? Others don't expect you to praise him for what you're going through, but yet your praise continues to rise, and it's a sweet smell in the nostrils of God, because God looks down and sees somebody and says, I know she's pressing because of what's going on in her life, but her lips and her mind, her mouth is open even in the midst of what the devil is bringing. Have I got anybody in here right now that's pressing, that's pushing, that's perfecting your praise through what you're going through? And it's not after it's over, it's in the middle. Here's what David is really saying. Listen, if you just got to tell them something, if they really just want to know, Brother Thomas, why you're pressing, what David is really saying is, listen, the reason why I go so hard, the reason why I do like Brother Chris and I take off to running every time I get happy, y'all don't understand. And the reason why I have to stand up and praise the Lord, listen, the reason why I stand up, because it's right here, here it is. The circumstance died rather than me. Y'all missed it. I'm looking back at some stuff in my life. I know I should be 6 feet under, and that's why I thank God for the song earlier, for my life. But the thanks be to God that the situation expired, but I'm still here. It had its end. It had its final day of my life, but I'm still, he let my golden moments roll on. That's what the whole sermon is all around, is really that you look back in your life and you are able to recount and you have the story of what you've gone through, but the situation was the only thing that died. You are still alive. I want you to do this. I want you to think about the toughest and the most terrible thing you've ever had to go through in your life, regardless of how long ago it was, how you felt in the middle of that storm. I want you to think about the tears you cried. I'm not trying to bring you to a place of emotional pain right now, but I want you to think about something. As bad as it was, as dark as it was, you ought to put your hands together, because you can also say, after all of that, I'm still alive. That's still mighty poor. I know y'all done been through some stuff. I know there are some folk in here, you were in a jam. You still don't know how you got up out of. That bullet went right past you and you didn't know it. That car came around that curve on the wrong side just before you got there. And while you may not have seen it, the reason why there's a verse in Amazing Grace that says, through dangerous toils and snares, we've already come. But we thank God that there was a measure of grace that helped you in the middle of those things. And that's why it's amazing, because it was working out of our sight for our good. I may not even get through part one today. I'm about to bust right here, because I'm looking back at some stuff I about lost my mind in. I'm looking at some stuff trying to raise some babies. Didn't know where the next meal was coming from. Didn't have the income coming in, but yet we still ate, and God took care of us. I've had sickness in my body. I've had trouble on every side. I've been lied on, talked about, scandalized, and criticized. But through all of that stuff and all of that junk in my life, he forgave me and he kept me. So baby, you may have to endure my praise for just a few moments, because you were not there and you don't know when or where, when the Lord did what he did. And that's why I praise him. I'll raise the roof up in here, and there's some of you that will do the same, because can't nobody tell you what the Lord has done for you? You know, tell your story. Praise saved your life. gonna give you four things real quick that he did in praise saving our life. I'm here because it died, but I'm still alive. Here are four things all of us can really celebrate in our lives, and then we're gonna get out of here and we're gonna go have some chicken. First thing is David talks about is he exalts me even though I'm exposed. Verse 1, he says, look at your neighbor and say, I will extol, I will praise the Lord. For though the Lord has lifted me up and has not made my enemies to rejoice over me. In other words, David says, I was low enough that they thought they could get their hands on me. They thought they could pluck me out. But David said, when I got to that place where I was exposed to my enemies, they had me in full view. They could do what they wanted to, that they thought with me. They thought that they had my life right where they wanted me. But David said, in that moment, the reason why I have to open my mouth and praise God is because when they thought they had me exposed openly before them to do what they wanted, the Lord lifted me up. And just like you are the parent, put things on the shelf, you put it out of reach from your baby getting to it. He said, that's what God did. God put me out of reach. I wish I had some help in here. Is there anybody in here right now that can thank God that in your praise, God put you out of reach of your enemies? They wanted to kill you. They wanted nothing more than your demise. But God lifted you and said, I'm preserving him for something later. And he puts you out of their reach. Here it is. David had enemies on any levels. First and foremost, he had some open enemies. Say open enemies. These are the folk who come in your face. Let you know they don't like you. Can't stand. Y'all can't stand them. Saul chased David all over Israel territory. As an open enemy, he hated David without cause. He wanted to see David dead. As a matter of fact, every time he had a chance, he thought to do something, he acted on it. We have open enemies that will fight us in front of folks, that will oppose us openly. But not only did David have some open enemies like Saul, he had a hidden enemy like Shimei. That the Bible says that even when things were going well in David's life, he had somebody that walked with him, that was close to him, but really wasn't for him. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. How many of you have let people that you found out were really your worst enemies, they were in your camp, they were walking with you every day, but they wasn't praying for you. They were not really on your team. Shimei was one who was hidden, and his agenda was hidden because he didn't want it to be exposed. You have people who are openly opposed to you. I don't mind them. You let me know where you are, I know where I keep you. But it's a little bit more dangerous when they understand how to get close to you and they remain concealed until the proper time. Julius Caesar, if he could command a voice, he would say, I let Brutus and those other fellows that I thought were in my corner get too close. Some of us have been burned by enemies that were hidden and close. David not only had open, exposed enemies, he had hidden enemies, but then thirdly, he had some enemies in his household. Uh-oh. Some familial enemies. There is no opposition in the world like when your family is aligned against you. When they can discern the hand of God is on you and is moving you, and then they align themselves in opposition to you. David had some family opposition. His own household, his own family, among his own sons, they were his enemies. All of which hungered for his defeat, his downfall, and his death. But the Lord protected him. What about you? Praise save your life. Not only that, but number two, he says that it intervened in his infirmities. Verse 2, he says, I cried. The contemporary English version says, I prayed unto you, and you healed me.
sickness came upon David, and it was believed, and then it brought him all the way down to the lowest point, to the point and the brink of death. It brought him to a deadly place where he was about ready to cross over. But then David says in the text, he says that I called upon my relationship. For it's in the text, he says, oh Lord, your God. No, he says, oh Lord, my God. In other words, David calls upon his relationship with Jehovah Elohim, the one who is sovereign and in control of everything. And when he calls on that relationship with Jehovah Elohim, he gets a revelation of Jehovah Rapha. Are y'all going to talk to me in here? When you learn how to claim and you begin to understand that you have relationship with the God who created the universe and has all power in his hand, he'll give you a manifestation, a revelation of whom as Jehovah Rapha. You don't believe it? David says, I was on my deathbed. I was there where people were coming by to give me their last words, and they were telling me how great I had been and speaking to me in the past tense. But David says, uh-oh, when they got to that place and I fell to that deathbed sickness, he says, the Lord stepped in and healed me. Has anybody been on the brink of some things and folks were about ready to pronounce a benediction on your life because of how low you had fallen? But then the Lord said, I'm getting ready to do something mighty in their life. I'm getting ready to bring you up off that deathbed and begin to bring you back to life. David says, the Lord healed him, recovered him, and restored the proper function to him. He disconnected him from the disease. Not only does he intervene in his infirmity, thirdly, he delivered me from death. Look at verse 3. He says, you brought my soul up from the grave. You saved me from death and the grave. Here it is. David is saying, I'm looking back at all of this stuff, and I see where you extended my days. And what I begin to see is, Mother Kelly, he did not only, David here is not only talking about in the natural sense, but even more so, David is talking about in the spiritual sense. You remember it was David that had sinned with Bathsheba. And not only that, he had lied to cover that sin up. But in David, the same David is approached by Samuel the prophet. And once sin is revealed, David is remorseful. And then David writes Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. And somewhere in the middle of Psalm 51, David says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Take me not away from your presence and remove your spirit not from me. David says, Lord, I don't want to be separated from you forever. And what this word death means, whenever you see it in the scripture, all it simply means is to be separated from God. And so what David says is, naturally, I was as close as could be to filling the back of a hearse. I was close to being viewed rather than being seen. I was close to filling a cemetery plot more so than it was to getting up from that season. It didn't look like there was a comeback for my life. But the Lord kept the breath in me. This breath that he kept was the breath of life. In other words, the Lord raised a standard against everything that had attacked David in his life. And David says, Lord, you were my only help. And what David understood was in his sickness, the battle was the Lord's. And even though the invitation to fight was delivered to David's address, it was the Lord's battle. Well, to help us understand how God moves to deliver us from death, David helps us to see here in verse number 3, that the Lord keeps us alive. And don't you ever get it twisted that it wasn't your money that's keeping you alive. It's not your friends keeping you alive. But it's only because the Lord is on your side that you have not gone down the same way and met the demise that others have met. Want to help us understand how praise saves us. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Simply revealed to us that in the midst of the battle, that they put the singers in front of the army. And the army was led to battle by those praisers. And the Bible says that their praise began to confuse their enemies. So much so that the enemy turned on one another and began to take out one another. And Israel never had to lift a finger in battle. Don't you know praise is preeminent? Praise is worthy right now. And the last thing I leave with you is this. David says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The last thing is, his performance of God makes praise our priority. David says, that the faithful people of the Lord will praise him in songs and honor his holy name. Well, is there anybody here this morning that will answer the call of David to the people of God and will say, I'm faithful to praise him because God has been faithful in my situation? Well, I tell you that sometimes you may find yourself locked in a midnight hour. But can I tell you, in Acts 16:25, the Bible tells us that it was midnight that Paul and Silas were not complaining or grumbling. But it was at midnight that Paul and Silas began to pray and to sing praises to the Lord. Don't you know that when you're pressed in the circumstance and it's midnight in your life, God will turn that thing around. When you praise, it gets the ear of God. And when you get the ear of God, you get the hand of God. And don't you know, in that text, in a midnight hour, there was a shaking and an earthquake. There was the opening of doors and chains falling off. Is there anybody here that can understand that praise is a priority? Well, when you look at it, praise saved my life. If you keep reading the verse 5, it tells us that the anger or the judgment of God only lasts for a moment. But what does it say? His favor, in his favor is our life. Don't you know you woke up this morning with your mind stayed on Jesus, and not because you had the power to touch yourself and to wake yourself up? But I remember Mama used to say, I thank God for one more day. He touched us with his finger of love. He woke you in your right mind, and your mind can be stayed on him because his heart is stayed on you. David says in verse 5, to help us who are still in a midnight season, David says, weeping may endure for a night. Is anybody crying right now? Anybody shedding tears in the middle of some stuff? Well, can I tell you, as a matter of fact, why don't you slap your neighbor, go on, and slap your neighbor a high five and tell a neighbor, be encouraged on this morning, why do you cry in the midnight hour? The word says weeping may endure for a night. Go on and slap that high five and tell your neighbor, Jah is on the way. Yes. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I said, tell your neighbor, he's rocking you in his arms right now. But sooner or later, joy is coming in the room. Is there anybody here that can celebrate? I got joy. Bless that wonderful name. Is there anybody here that's not ashamed to tell somebody, I've been through the storm and I'm in the rain right now, but I still, is there anybody here? I still got my joy. Well, somebody asked me a few days ago, with all you got going on, how do you got joy? You know what I told them? The reason why I got joy, because I got Jesus. Jesus. I got Jesus in my life. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we shine as we tarry there, my mother can't compare. Is there anybody here got joy in Jesus? Wave your hand and tell your neighbor, I got joy in the morning, I got joy in the noonday, even when it's late in the midnight hour, I got joy, I got joy, I got joy, yeah, yeah, I got joy, I got joy, I got joy. What a praise party when believers think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for us. We can praise him all the day long. Is there anybody here who don't know where you'd be if it had not been for the Lord on your side? But since he's been on your side, you can plant your feet and say, through the storm, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to wait till my change come. And while somebody may be critical of where you are now, tell them, don't be impatient with me. Can you tell me why? Because God is not through with me yet. But when God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Say glory, hallelujah. Since the night all of my prayers down, I don't know about you, but I feel better, so much better, since I laid all of my prayers down. Yeah. Anybody know him? You'll have to excuse me today. I'm overflowing when I reflect back over all I've gone through. Some folk told me that I'd never make it, but But here I am, and here you are, after all of that brokenness in your life. He kept you in your right mind. Can you praise him? Can you praise him? Can you praise him for all he's done for you? Go on and celebrate. Praise. Save that life. Praise, save that life. The whole essence of everything you've heard today is to remind the people of God that it's through your praise. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't need any more money. It would only be spit. You don't need any new friends, because they'd only just split. What you need is a fresh wind of praise to overtake your soul. You need to learn how to put your hands together when you don't feel like it. You need to learn how to move those feet when the devil is telling you to stay seated. You need to learn how to open your mouth and rejoice in the Lord. That's what you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless that wonderful, magnificent name of Jesus. That gets mad when the church is praising is Satan. And don't you know we ought to be glad when he's mad? We ought to want to leave here having upset the enemy, because his agenda was not successful in keeping your mouth closed. He thought he had you in a pickle, and he thought that he had you right where he wanted you in that situation. But then you busted up in here and you started running. And you started shouting and declaring the works of the Lord, and something happened in your life that no longer he had the authority and the power over you.
We got a lot of folks that are missing in the pews today. And sometimes that can be discouraging when you have those Sundays where folks stay away. Can I tell you where you can rejoice even in that? Somebody ought to just celebrate and just thank God that that's just more space to dance. Y'all missed it. That's more room to operate. You got more room to move and to testify the goodness of the Lord. Don't let anything stop you from declaring what the Lord has done in your life. Has he done anything for anybody in here? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We want to extend an invitation right now. We want to ask you to stand, those of you who are able. The ministers will come. They're here on purpose. Perhaps you may have something in your life that you need assistance breaking free from. First and foremost, we want to extend an invitation to salvation, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This text helps us to understand that praise saves our life. As we reflect back, we all able to see that the hand of God was upon us. Don't you know that even when you're in sin, God's love and mercy is extended to you? He was preserving you until this moment, perhaps to bring you into the ark of safety. That accident didn't take your life. That sickness didn't overcome you because God was faithful. He wanted to give you the chance to come to know him. So we extend that invitation first and foremost. Secondly, we extend an invitation. Maybe you just can't see beyond the storm that you're in. The clouds and the gray skies have blocked your view of the grace of God something active in your life. Amen. That's a perfect song. We want to be in prayer with you, in agreement with you. The altar is available.
Something about the name.
Come receive the help from the Lord that you need today. Will there be one?
I know.
He wants to change your life. We have not the power to change it. The Lord has the power. Will there be one for recommitment, rededication of your life to him? Maybe you're not walking in the way that brings him glory. He's able to forgive you, cleanse you, and usher you back into the field of service. Will there be one today?
I can't explain.
Will there be one today?
Power that I feel. When I call your name,
say that, brother Lord. Say that, say that.
Said it's just like fire. Ooh, shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost, it keeps on moving. Yes, it does. And it just won't leave me alone. Something about that. About this name. Ooh, I finally realized. I've got to be honest with you all. Oh, how I love this name. Oh, I realize. Oh, it's the sweetest thing. Yes, it is. It's the sweetest.
This young man had been in and out